And welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is always brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker dealer depository service. I have to apologize up front. I have like hay fever or something. My wife and I spent the day yesterday all over the countryside, and both of us started to get the same thing. So I don't know. We were out literally walking through hay fields, and you know the deal. Hopefully, maybe you don't. But it just, folks, it's frustrating when you got a radio show. And so Tom played a rerun yesterday, Wednesday, which I hope was okay. And so, first of all, please forgive me for my voice. I wish I could do otherwise, but it's not the case. It is what it is, as they say. So here I am. Coins Plus has been in business about 20 years. I went into business, just to give you a quick bio, I guess. I opened Coins Plus back in the late 90s, and I was essentially the most avid coin collector in the area. I absolutely loved coins, still do. They say a lot of times when you make your hobby your business, it ruins your hobby. For me, that hasn't been the case, but I will say that it has become a lot more administrative than I wish it has. I'm a full-fledged businessman now. And when I started, I just had a deep craving for coins. I love coins. I mean, folks, they're everything. They comprise history. They're the one item that you know was there, okay? You know people spent them. You know, they've been there. And the other thing about them, honestly, is they hold value. I mean, they hold value like in a compact form like nothing else. I mean, there's nothing like coins for being able to touch history, hold on to the value of the history. There's just nothing like it out there. So that has a lot to do possibly with my love of coins and the fact that historically, studies have shown that people are always, you know, they have this doom and gloom scenario of when all hell breaks loose, as I say. But they don't realize God made us a certain way. If we ever get the EMP, electromagnetic pulse bomb, that just absolutely blips everything out, I don't know how many of you have ever really thought that through. But the concept of every electronic being fried means that your vehicles wouldn't run. Your appliances wouldn't run. You'd have no heat in your home. You would have no communication on your cell phone, none whatsoever. You wouldn't even know what happened. No one would know what happened. Eventually, you'd end up with rogue bands of people. You would end up with gang warfare. You would end up with tyranny. You would end up with anarchy. It would be complete and total mayhem. Even if you had a military presence, I mean, how do they communicate? How does the East Coast communicate with the West Coast? These are all real threats, folks. And, you know, there's a lot of prophecy, end times prophecy, that talks about some really bad things happening. We don't know when, where, how, what, or why, but we know that the Bible, and I'm kind of a firm believer in it, there's a lot of Bible prophecy about end times genocide, end times, you know, mayhem. And I guess that is where I don't know how it would come or, you know, the plagues that they prophesy, or, you know, I don't know, but we've got, you know, there's what, seven plagues, on the end times. I don't know them all, but, you know, there's those who have the mark of the beast, right, where it says that they poured out his vial on the earth and there's a noisome and grievous spirit. I don't have all the scriptures in front of me, but I do know that there are plagues that take place on the earth. There's people that actually think we've already gone through this. I'm not a big believer in that. I think that when it happens, we're going to know. I don't think it'd be very likely that God would write end times prophecy that would not be known, per se, that would not be clearly understood when it took place. In Revelation 16, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out on earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. Now, what is that? I mean, these are people that receive the mark of the beast and they're worshiping his image. Now, I don't know if the worshiping of the image is part of the plague, or it's just that they happen to be worshiping the image of the beast because they, you know, they happen to be the people that got the mark. But the bottom line is something really bad happens. And so the mark of the beast, maybe intentionally, transposes or injects or infuses or whatever the magic word is, some kind of what is referred to a loathsome and malignant sore, okay? Now, what is malignant? Bad. Bad and unstoppable. Loathsome is disgusting. So these people are going that accept the mark of the beast are going to probably take some sort of battery, some sort of maybe little nuclear, tiny nuclear-powered seed or something that is literally going to turn them into something really gross to look at. This is maybe where people get into all the zombie stuff. No, I'm not into that at all. I think it's crazy. The whole zombie thing, folks, is satanic. If you watch zombie movies, it's wrong. And the reason is because Jesus Christ and God are the givers of life. You cannot have a lifeless corpse running around, okay? God made us to possess life. So the concept of a lifeless corpse, an unkillable lifeless corpse, is not something that's even remotely biblically sound. So you can give up on the zombieism. It's garbage. What you can see here is that these people are going to get very sick. Now, what happens when they get sick? Misery loves company. They band together. It's actually going to show them those that didn't accept the mark of the beast. Those that did not accept the mark of the beast are going to be healthy, right? And then the Bible tells us you're not going to be able to buy or sell, aka trade in the marketplace, without the mark of the beast. So all these people with the mark of the beast are going to have some really gross manifestation taking place on their body to make them stand out. Kind of sick, isn't it? Kind of interesting, isn't it? Then the second angel pours out his bowl into the sea, and it becomes blood like that of a dead man, and everything in the sea dies. Now, what in the world is that? Is there some kind of a chemical? Is there something that comes from outer space? A meteorite that is filled with some kind of a terrible chemical element that literally destroys the sea? I mean, comprehend this, folks. This is interesting because what happened with Pharaoh is a microcosm of what this is describing as the end time plagues. Now, when we hear the word the sea, okay, I don't personally know if this means the whole ocean or some specific C. Okay. Now, when you go into the Hebrew, or I'm sorry, the Greek, where this is written, the word C is a feminine noun. It's a thalassa, and it actually means the sea in general. It says it's used specifically of the Mediterranean Sea or Red Sea, okay, at the time it was written. Now, that may be simply because that's where they lived. I don't know. But I can tell you something's going to happen, right? And then guess what happens when you don't have fish? You don't have seafood. Now you've got these people that are sick. You've got the sea filled with death, and it looks like the blood of a dead man. Folks, the biggest problem with this is, you know, Jesus talks about praying for your enemies, blessing your enemies. There's a simple reason for that. Jesus also talks about being kind to your enemies, and he talks about heaping hot coals on, because he says it'll heap hot coals on their head. Now, when we read that, we think of that as a psychological punishment, where we think it means, yeah, be kind to your enemies and you'll really be getting even. You'll really be paying them back. But that's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is you'll warm their heart. You'll soften them. We've seen this time and time again with prisoners. Christian prisoners, there are countless episodes all the way back to Paul of people being incarcerated for the name of Christ, and by their grace and love and the fruits of the Spirit they show, they convert the prison guards and they end up with incredible mercy and grace and mercy. We've even seen it all the way back to Joseph and Pharaoh and Paul and, you know, Peter got out through an angel. But the point is that this talks about these terrible things happening to people. And what I was getting at is the fact that when bad things happen to people, misery loves company. And when people are miserable, they reach out and they extend wrath towards others. And so when we get to this time, which is interesting because it's supposed to take place after, I believe, after the destruction of Mystery Babylon, which I suspect has a very strong possibility as having been the trade towers. So, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. I haven't studied it in depth lately, but I can do it real quick here as we study this scripture. Let me check something out here real quick. So you've got the lamb standing on the mountain. They're singing a song. Another is talking about the fall of Mystery Babylon, the smoke of her torment going up forever and ever, no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name, blah, blah, blah. So, yes, these plagues come after the destruction of Mystery Babylon. There is a high likelihood that the drop of the trade towers was Mystery Babylon. Reading through Revelation 17 and 18, I believe I can justify that fairly well. Remember, the Bible is not written in chronological order, so don't fall prey to that deception. So, back to where we were. We had the second angel pouring out something that turned some sea, maybe the Red Sea, maybe, you know, the oceans, whatever, into absolute blood so that all of the living creatures died. So everybody in that area now that's accepted the mark of the beast is covered in these loathsome, malignant sores that won't heal. And now their water is turned to blood. They can't eat. All their life is dead, or all their sea life, their food source is dead. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. This is where it gets weird, and I'll tell you why. Okay, springs of water typically filter water. This is one of the magical aspects of hydrology that God made. When water goes down into the earth and it goes through the rock and it goes through dirt, it literally gets filtered. A lot of springs are fed by water that literally filters through the dirt. The dirt will literally pull out all the impurities and all the extra, and then it'll go through rock or across rock and et cetera. And it basically cleans the water out. It will remove so many contaminants. This is very interesting because it's talking about the third plague, the third angel pouring out his bowl into the rivers and what? The springs of water. So there's nowhere to go. I mean, there's not going to be any fresh water anywhere. Now, this is the wrath of God. This is the kind of thing where people go, see, I'm going to be out of here. I'm going to be raptured. Sorry, folks. I don't think that's consistent with Scripture. I know Tim LaHaye wrote all of his out of here books, and I met with him personally. I interviewed him personally. I asked him for more scriptural backup personally. I really did. I literally was so excited. I was studying at the time the rapture. Pre-trib is what I'd always been taught. And I was really, really excited to meet him because I thought, finally, I'm going to meet an expert on this rapture thing. And he is going to put all these questions to bed for me. And I will finally have this list of scriptures. And it will settle itself. I asked him, hey, point blank, so do you have a list of other scriptures to substantiate this stuff? And he said, no. And I was like, what? And I was serious. I was like, you don't have a list of scriptures because wouldn't that make sense? And he just says, no. And I'm like, so all this stuff is based on these two scriptures in Thessalonians, basically. And he's like, yes. And I was in shock. I was like, oh my gosh, we are turning the heart of an entire generation of the church over a theology that is based on very, very loosely interpreted scripture. Very loosely interpreted scripture. That arguably doesn't say what they say it says. So I was blown away. Then I went back to the Bible with a more open mind. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to just see what God says. Well, one thing I put a lot of stock in, folks, and you should too, is what comes out of Jesus Christ's mouth and is documented in the Bible. If they say Jesus said it, I don't care what the rest of the Bible says. Jesus said it. There's scripture that says you need two or more witnesses. I've had a friend try to use that on me, and I agree with them wholeheartedly, except when Jesus says it. When it says you need two or more witnesses, can you imagine if God spoke to Jonah, and Jonah says, well, that's a great idea, God, but I need two or more witnesses. Or Paul on the road to Damascus. Well, that's neat, God. You've blinded me now. Told me, you know, that I'm persecuting you and you need me, but I need two more witnesses. No. When God speaks, that's that, right? So we got the third angel pouring out. He ruins the rivers and the streams. We are now dying of thirst. We've got brackish water. Something's going on. Something. I don't know what kind of a thing this is. You could think about it. It could be chemical pollution. It could be, like I said, a meteorite. It could be, I don't even know. I don't know what would cause this. And then it says, then I heard the angel, by the way, we're in Revelation 16. Then I heard the angel of the waters, right? Saying, righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things. Now, when you get into books like the Book of Enoch and stuff, there's a lot of things that sound real far-fetched to us. They have like an angel who's in charge of the storehouse of snow and an angel who's in charge of the storehouse of rain. And we look and we go, well, that's foolish. That's not the case at all. We know that cumulus clouds form in the inner atmosphere, and the ionosphere interacts with ultraviolet rays, and that raises the temperature of these cumulus clouds, and eventually it causes condensation, and that condensation is what turns to rain. That's what we do by observing. We do not understand the mechanisms. That is observing. Okay? Remember that. At that point, we are only observing. We are not creating, nor do we know. So, just observing doesn't make you an expert. That's the problem with this atheistic mindset. They're like, I believe in science. What does that mean? It means, because if I can observe it, then it can't be from God. What? If you can observe your mother bake a cake, does that mean the cake wasn't made by your mother? That it just made itself? The dumbest logic I've ever heard. So we have the angels of the water saying, righteous are you. Righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judge these things. For they poured out the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it. Wow. This is an angel of wrath. This is the angel of the water. Folks, pray over your water. Appreciate water. We need water to live. Praise the Lord, you've got water. It's good stuff. I remember I used to always joke, someday somebody's going to bottle water and make money on it. Well, guess what they've done? Somebody bottled water and made money on it. Like, ouch. So then it goes on. After he says they deserve it. And I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. The fourth angel comes, pours out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Folks, something's going on here now. We're getting torched by cosmic rays. We've got something to do with the atmosphere now coming apart. And people are being burnt, okay? So we've either got a massive solar flare. The Earth has either moved into a closer orbit with the sun, or something's happened to our atmosphere. I would say most likely the sun is probably putting out some kind of incredible flare at this point that is really putting the heat on people, literally. So these are not the best of times at all. These are difficult times for sure. Okay, so, and I heard the all, yes, the Lord Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. The fourth angel pours out the bowl on the sun. Men are scorched with fierce heat. They get this. Is this what you do? Let me tell you something, folks. When God executes judgment on your life, let me give you one piece of advice. Do not blaspheme him, okay? Don't shake your fist at God. Don't curse him. Don't badmouth him. You know, don't trash talk him. If he's getting your attention, or if there's something in your life he's not crazy about, listen to him. Repent to him. Because what happens here, men are scorched with fierce fire heat, and they blaspheme the name of God who has the power over these plagues. Think about it. He has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. Think about this a minute. God, please stop this. Lord, forgive us for our sins. We know you're God. We want this to stop. We know we've sinned. Please forgive us. We repent. No, not in the way the world's going, folks. men need to understand, you cannot repent at will. There are people, many of them, that believe that when the day comes and it's time for them to repent and turn to Jesus Christ, they actually believe that they're going to do it at the last minute, right before they die, and you're not going to have that option. If God is not drawing you, you have no power and no authority whatsoever, period. Okay? So realize, you repent when God draws your heart near to Him right then and there. That is when you repent. Right then and there. Right now. You don't put it off. You don't wait around. You don't hope, you know, blah, blah, blah. No. You turn to God when He executes wrath or judgment upon you or around you. God loves us. God is a good God. He did come that we have life and have it abundantly. Part of the problem with America is we've got life way too abundantly. We are way lackadaisical. We've got it made. I'm not saying that I wish negativity upon this nation, but I do wish that people could repent while things are good, that people could be so grateful and appreciate and realize what God can, will, and does do for us on a regular basis. So the fifth angel pours out his bowl on the throne of the beast. So the men are scorched by fire. They didn't repent. They wouldn't give God the glory. For some reason, they must know it's God because they have the option to give him the glory. And then we get into the fifth angel pouring out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened. And they gnawed their tongues because of pain. What? I mean, folks, this is tough stuff. You know, they've got these terrible sores. They're malignant. They're loathsome. They're disgusting. They're being scorched by the heat. They're turning their back on God. They can't drink water. They're dying of thirst. This is a scenario, folks, you don't want to be around. You just do not want to be around. Maybe they spill a bunch of oil in the ocean. I don't know. But I do know something's going down at this point. Something big is going down at this point. And you don't want to be part of it. So the fifth angel pours out his bowl on the throne of the beast. The kingdom became darkened. They gnawed their tongues because of pain. I don't completely understand that, but it sounds terrible to me. And what did they do? What do you do now when God, okay, when Satan approached God about Job? He said, Lord, of course he glorifies you. You have a hedge of protection around him. And God said, you know what? I'm going to remove that hedge. And Job still will not curse me. And the devil's like, oh, I get my day at this guy. He's going to curse you. And God gives Lucifer his day at Job. Now, remember, it's hard to comprehend, but Job was restored everything double, everything. Now, even the wife and everything. Now, I'm not going to lie. Losing kids and all that, I don't understand that scripture. Don't even begin to understand. All I know is God can heal, God's amazing, God's incredible, right? I know that for a fact. So, somehow God was able to restore Job to a point of peace. But, what's going on here is they're blaspheming God because of their pains and their sores. They did not repent of their deeds. This is the exact opposite of Job. So what goes next? Here comes the sixth angel. He pours out his bowl on the great river, which is what? They call it the Euphrates here. I don't know if it's the Nile. I don't know what it is. Its water was dried up. So it was bad enough. The water couldn't be drank. Now it's dried up. So the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. What does that mean? Dries up the river so that these guys can march. or so that these, not march, but so that these huge militaries can proceed through the dried up riverbed. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. So all these plagues hit, things get real bad, and now God calls together these kings to prepare for the mighty battle of Armageddon. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. It says, blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. In other words, you better stay dressed when you sleep. You better stay dressed. You better keep a lot of clothes around because you're going to get disrupted. You're going to get uprooted. And you're going to be running around, and it's going to be ugly, and you better have your clothes so you don't get shamed nakedly. Folks, these are not good times. This is Revelation 16. They gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Harmageddon. To you and I, it's Armageddon. This is the big battle, isn't it? The Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is led to because of the agitation of these plagues. So now we're at Armageddon. Then the seventh angel pours out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. There was a great earthquake such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty, the great city was split into three parts. What's the great city? Most likely Jerusalem. The cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away and the mountains were not found. And a huge hailstorm, and huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. These, my friends, are bad times. This is ultimately where we're heading. Now, I talk about people that want to save for the when all hell breaks loose. That was just one example of a number of examples in the Bible of end times activity. God put us on this earth. Folks, frankly, there's been some tough times on this earth. Men have done horrendous things to one another. But Revelation 16 describes a horrendous time, very difficult time. Now, when I first used to read that, it used to scare the tar out of me. And what it forced me to do was to test and challenge my relationship with God, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Master of the Universe, author of the Bible. Are you ready to go through that? What do you think God does with his believers? Isn't it interesting that God's talking initially about those that accepted the mark of the beast? But I believe God will carry the rest of us through this, or it will take place in a certain part of the world separate from us or whatever. I don't know. Can't tell you. Wish I could. Doesn't totally make sense to me, but it is what it is. And there we are. So be prepared. Scary, sorry, but be prepared. And then we go into, you know, there's other scripture we won't get to today, but that is something to definitely think about. We live in a world of chaos. We live in a place of gossip. That bothers me. I mean, I'll be candid. It bothers me. When you ask, what does the Bible, you know, say about gossip? Gossip is one of those words that I think a lot of times gets miscalculated, misused, where people will say things like, you know, they always think of gossip as you telling me something bad about somebody else in the church. And I think that there are other issues that you need to consider when it comes to gossip. Gossip is speaking things about other people that are ultimately destructive to them. When we go to like Proverbs 20 verse 19, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. The word gossip, when you go to the good old Hebrew, it means to be spacious or wide open. In other words, a wide mouth. It even means open-minded, simple, yet naive, to persuade, to seduce, to enlarge, to flatter. It's somebody who's running their mouth all the time to try to bring you to their side in a destructive manner. They want to bring you over to their side in a destructive manner. When you are around people like this, flee. Now, folks, we struggle, all of us. Every last one of us struggles with this. I know I do. I mean, and what's worse is when someone offends us, or even worse yet is when we think that somebody is going to say something really bad about us because of something we did. A lot of times we try to preempt that with our own gossip. So we need to avoid people that gossip. Now, gossip is really interesting because there's so many sins we're so aware of, but we don't think of gossip as the kind of sin that it is. It's very destructive. And so it says, no, let no unwholesome talk come from your mouth, but that which is edifying to others, etc. That's what we need to be doing. That's who we need to be. That's how we need to live our lives, etc. Right? We want to speak good truth. We want to lift people up. We want to do good. Okay, that's our desire. And I'm kind of going to sort of leave it at that. There are a lot of verses about a dishonest man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. Let's not be that person. Let's walk away when somebody wants to gossip about somebody or tell us something that's destructive about somebody. Let's just turn our backs and walk away politely. You just say, yeah, that's interesting. I'm not really interested in that right now. Or, hey, I'm really working on gossip. I'm really working on not engaging in gossip right now, so I'd like to talk about something else. You know what they'll say? Oh, I'm not gossiping. I'm just telling you this or that. No, you're gossiping. But you need to walk away from it, because I can tell you, and each one of you can probably understand, I have heard things about people that I know are not true for 100% fact, and they affect my mind and my perspective on that person. They're not good. We don't want to do that. And folks, quick sidebar, we'll have an intermission here. I have mentioned it over and over. I really appreciate those of you who are willing to go to Google and give us a 5-star review for some business experiences that you've had. When you do that, we will offer you a free silver dollar. If you leave 3 reviews, usually Google Yahoo and like Yelp or whoever else. We give you two silver coins, either which way you prefer. You got to understand that you're like, man, that's expensive. You should see how much it costs per new customer to run ads. It is so expensive. And we've been around a long time, and our main goal is to remind people we're here. I went for about 3 or 4 years where I just completely shut off all my advertising because I wanted to see what we were getting just from word of mouth as people were telling us. So we had word of mouth and we had location. Our location is a definite bonus. And it's good. And we've got a wonderful facility. The facility's free and clear. I've heard people say, oh, that Coins Plus has such a beautiful facility, you're going to pay more when you buy or sell. That isn't the case at all. Folks, we have a building that was built from the ground up with the most highest levels of security in the nation. This is considered one of the nation's finest facilities for the industry. We built it from the ground up. Extreme security beyond your wildest dreams. I mean, really, especially if you knew the real ins and outs of it, but you're not. It's very impenetrable. We'll put it that way. Very difficult to get into, a lot of, you know, on and on. I won't get into it. But we are here to serve you for the long haul. Biggest problem with the internet, how hard is it to build a nice website? Not hard at all. In fact, I just coached somebody yesterday how to go on to GoDaddy and build a website and pay $10 a month and you got a website. There was a guy I know who owns a huge bullion company now. When he got going in the 90s, he would rent space in the top penthouse suite of a CEO's office. And he would videotape up there as if he were the president of this phenomenal company. On his website, he would leave pictures of these magnificent, of this incredible building. The building wasn't his, but it was all designed to deceive, to make people think it was. There's so much in that. Well, we happen to have the facility and no fake pictures, and we need people to understand that. Not just you do somebody business with someone because they have a nice building, but it's our commitment, our brick-and-mortar commitment to the community. One thing I'd like to do is buzz through some notes. As I do each show, I post the show on our website. I also post the show on podcasts, which are very difficult to find, mainly because I haven't found the right person to handle all my online stuff yet. And the eBay, the photoing coins is just, that's the brutal part. That's the hard part. Photography of coins is so much harder than anybody would ever imagine. So as I kind of scroll through these notes, we talked, I think, the other day about many of us have faith in the belief that God exists, but the true struggle is trusting that he's truly compassionately involved in the day-to-day struggles of us, his followers. So, and I talk about the situations seem to make no sense. He drags us through hard times. They don't make any sense. But we have to realize he sees the future. Secondly, I discussed on that show the need for using sound wisdom and patience in following God's preordained methodology of wealth and capital preservation. Folks, precious metals are money. You guys have heard it for so long, you're numb. Here's Kevin again. Oh, give me a break. Folks, I am telling you, we live in a good time. I remember back going, oh my goodness, if gold ever broke $1,000, it would be the most incredible thing that ever happened. I remember when gold was $275 an ounce, and I had a very good customer in Montana. And I'm like, this is a deal. I had $220 gold pieces, each an ounce of gold in them. Now, this customer was a very good customer, And believe it or not, here's how crazy I was. I sent him 200 ounces of $20 gold pieces without payment because he was such a good customer. And I said, Boyd, 200 ounces of these, actually $295 a piece. Pay me when you can. They're a great investment. He had his wife hop in a car, drive back from Flathead Lake, Montana, dump them off, say, we're not interested. Our broker says gold is dead. That sound familiar to you? If you got a stockbroker, gold is dead. Gold is bad. They've got so many people that are like, well, I want money that produces. I want something that produces a dividend. I want regular monthly income. Folks, it doesn't matter. The value of your asset is the value of your asset. If you have 10,000 ounces of silver or 100,000 ounces of silver and you want to live on 3,000 a month, then we just sell off whatever you need each month. We do it for people all the time. Don't get lied to into the concept that somehow digging into the actual metal itself is somehow hurting you in the long run. You know, the whole dividend thing is a racket. Annuities are a racket. I was listening to Fisher Investments today. I won't get into it. Folks, whatever you want to do with your money, you can do way better without annuities. Please, do not, under any circumstances. If you think that I have any background at all, and I'll tell you what it is. Here, I was doing a little bio a minute ago. Folks, my background is this. I started Coins Plus in the late 90s because I loved coins. When I started Coins Plus, I had just been the regional manager for Bank of America Housing Services for many years, regional sales manager and regional manager. I sold and financed a lot of houses. I was Series 6 and 7 licensed so that I could communicate with the branches and teach them and educate them on how to sell stocks and bonds, the exact thing I'm telling you not to buy now. Then the dot-com craze hit and everything looked hunky-dory. Then we had the Y2K fear. People were loading up on metal. I don't know, foolishly or not, talked them out of it. Everyone who came into our shop, I literally sent somewhere else and I told them they were crazy. Well, that proved to be a mistake. I can tell you, God's God. God said money's money. And that's what it is. And that's what we need to do. We talked on the 10th about gold. What does the Bible say about gold? In short, Jesus said, or no, this was about truth. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says the truth will set you free. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. God's the creator of truth, and the Bible absolutely touts and ordains precious metals as the only truthful form of wealth, okay? Gold and silver are creations of God, not man. God created a system of truth. Man's system is based on deception and usury, which God abhors. The Bible warns against it. God's ways are truthful, and following his precepts will cause us to flourish. It's not just, oh, I bought an ounce of gold and it went up or down this way. It's a matter of, I read God's word, I'm serving God, and I'm doing what God's telling me to do with my money and my life. Okay, then we go back to the 8th. What's the Bible say about gold and silver? And that was a long one. We talked about examining the scriptures and drawing three basic critical characteristics about gold and silver. Gold and silver are of divine origin. The first reference to gold is actually during the creation of the world in the second chapter of Genesis. He tells us exactly where to get it. He gives us the highest compliment, says it's the best stuff going. God says he created the world and the elements within it. Gold is depicted as an asset of value, okay? I don't care. These are not different times. Don't get deceived. Don't think it's dead. Don't think we changed everything. We haven't beat anything. Folks, we've got a debt problem that you cannot even comprehend. We have not even begun to address the real problem in this country. Simply put, it is bankruptcy. Massive trade deficits, massive debt, massive, absolute, overboard, fiat currency, we got a problem. Trust me, it ain't going to end pretty. It will end. I don't know when. It should by now. But I can tell you, there's a lot of people that feel there's some things coming with Trump or post-Trump or the midterm election. I don't know. But I can tell you, we're told by the Bible that it's got intrinsic value. Gold and silver are products of God, not a creation of man. That's what's wonderful about it. God designed them to be intrinsically valuable, and they're beautiful. Gold doesn't tarnish or corrode. It can be hammered so thin that 1 ounce can spread over 100 square feet. It's the best conductor. Gold and silver are the best conductors of heat and electricity. Silver's the best conductor of heat and electricity as well, and the silver will reflect light better than any other metal. When it's fully refined, it looks like a mirror. Nothing else is like it. The intrinsic value is the key. All the value is in the product itself. You need nobody else's permission. You just have wealth. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, I don't care if you go to Saudi Arabia. I don't care if you go to India. I don't care if you go to Indonesia, Thailand, Russia, Middle East, Africa. I've been to all of them. Gold, 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 gold. You give them a paper dollar, $100 bill, they're stoked. They're going to go burn it. But I'll tell you what, a lot of them, they'll run out and buy gold. They put gold away. Gold is what you want. You look at Jason Bourne, you know, and when he comes into his little box, he's got gold because it's liquid in every nation. The value is in it because God said it is. It's got monetary quality. It is real money. There is no word in Hebrew for money, only gold and silver. Simple as that. Just because we created monopoly money, just because man created a system that is literally like a game that takes advantage of fools, doesn't mean it's right. I think you'd agree, right? Okay. God's very just. He hates deceit and manipulation. Well, guess what? Our paper money system is walking disaster. It's very simple. We've had the gold confiscations, the massive manipulations, the whole nine yards. We really have. And I know I've talked about it before, but folks, seriously, just hear me out. I mean, hear me out. And I'm telling you, right now with what's going on in this nation, Trump, I still believe, is absolutely God's man. Do you know how many times they've tried to prove smut on this guy? They can't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Even this Omarosa's trying to say he used the N-word, you know, for a black person, and he says no way. They can't prove any of it. This guy's been crazy, interestingly clean. He respects people. He's just a tough New Jersey cookie. Now, is he brash and rude? And oh, yeah, absolutely. But God knew the man when he put him in this office. It's kind of cool. And he's probably saving our nation for a temporary period of time. We've got economic and investment fundamentals in this nation that are bent out of shape. We've fallen prey to massive counterfeiting of colonial currency. That's when we created the Constitution, which is they wanted to deter that from ever happening. Our founders removed the reference to paper money on purpose. They knew, and later in 1913, we got duped into the Federal Reserve banking system, which began a gradual fiat currency system, shockingly created by John Maynard Keynes, who was a radical socialist who wanted to destroy capitalism. Unbelievable. You know, we've got the barrage of options as to where to invest your money. You've got all these things to scratch your head. And if all you want to do is talk to brokers and get all their approval, or be a fool like people I talk to and call everybody under the sun, you know, to me, that just tells me that you're not in touch with God. Kneel before God. Read his word. You don't need man to tell you what to do contrary to what the Bible says. How many of you out there have heard me for years, didn't take my advice, went and bought a bunch of paper this or paper that, and you got nothing to show for it? How many of you did the bankonyourself.com and lost your tail or lost your money in annuities? You tried to get them back? Yeah? Go try to cash out your annuity. See what you can get out of it. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Could you think of a better time right now than to be buying metals? No. 401ks and IRAs, they are our specialty. Go for it. We've got the strong background, whatever. Coins, collections, estates, folks, build little portfolios. We build really cool portfolios. We buy this stuff. Folks, when we pick up stuff that we sold 20 years ago, it's so amazing. I love to see the growth. What's even better is people that built portfolios 40 years ago and the family brings in these estates and you're like, you've got to be kidding. I wish the person was here to see the growth. You know, items they paid $12 for that are now worth $385. And, you know, this is what we sell. This is what we do. Let us help you out. We are very good at it. We are very, very good at it. Buy bulk dollars. Just put them away. There's nowhere else to go with your money. You've got to do something, okay? You've got to do something with it. I'm running into a situation where I'm coming across a fair amount. And I'm in the same boat. I guarantee you, it ain't going in paper. So I could go on and on and on previous shows and what we've talked about. And, you know, we're living in a world of chaos. We can't trade our liberty for security. The equity markets are overvalued and overleveraged. There's a crash is inevitable. On and on and on. Enough is enough is enough. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I appreciate it. Please, our radio shows are available on our website, which was hijacked, by the way, by a casino recently. We're redoing another website. Do the Google reviews. Just go do it. Get it done. Call us. Prove it. Get free coins, man. You want free coins? Come get them. Take care. God bless. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.